coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a good-looking Tuesday morning. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. How do you say welcome to your guests? Well, you say it with a new entry door from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. You say it with color. The possibilities are endless thanks to their custom colors. Say it with class. Pella's premium doors stand out due to their distinguished craftsmanship. Say it with a great deal. Zero interest up to 60 months with no money down and equal payments. Hurry, it ends at the end of the month. Certain restrictions apply. Visit PellaWI.com today.
Love them.
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, speaking of entrances, making stuff that's the best.
Yes.
Next guest, Johnny.
Yes. Laura, okay, we could start with your Navy career. We could start with your art career. We could start with what you're doing for veterans now, putting
nationally.
All those things together nationally. So I'm just going to introduce you and let you take it from there. I just want to make sure I don't screw up the middle name. Laura Meisenhelder.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that's my maiden name.
Okay. Laura Meisenhelder Taylor.
That's correct. Laura Taylor for short.
Had I introduced you, it would have been Laura Taylor. Welcome.
And wait, we just got a thing here, an alert. Says, this sounds like an amazing fundraising opportunity. My money is on John for more push-ups.
Okay.
Laura, yeah, how about you?
Thank you, Julie.
Well, I'm a little impartial right now.
Two?
We'll see where we end up after this.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I don't know, partial who? I mean, because that's okay. Was that one of those things like Coach Kathy?
Yeah, this guy.
We've got this lady here. She's our nutritional coach, but we haven't seen her in a while. I think she's just like,
She get this though. She came in here and she was in here for a veterans event, fix up homes for veterans who are getting a little bit older, and that kind of fell apart during COVID, and she's trying to reignite that. Well, anyway, she came in and she looked familiar, you know, how people's eyes don't change. And she goes, well, we used to work together. And I'm like, oh, a long time ago. And it was like 25 years ago. But in the last few years, she's lost 200 pounds.
Oh, wow.
And she looks awesome.
200 pounds. So anyway, we were wondering what our BMI was. So we gave Todd our heights and weights and everything, and he figured it out. And they were exactly the same, believe it or not, exactly the same. And we told her, and she looks at us both. She goes, no, it's higher than that. I mean, not even that.
Check your paperwork. None of that stuff. She's just like, nah, it's higher than
you
that.
You got called out.
We did. Both. But she was nice. She did it both at the same time. So anyway, she, interesting person and working on veterans. You do that as well. But
and this
totally
is a very
different.
Important time this with cool. The prevention of today is Suicide Prevention Day. So go ahead and take it from there, Laura.
Hi. Thank you for, first of all, for having me on the show today. I appreciate it. Yes, my name's Laura Taylor. I am a Navy veteran. I have been working in our area with the community and with different veterans throughout our area as an artist and also as a volunteer for several different organizations. My career, I guess, started, my husband and I met back in the Navy back in the day, and people always say, well, what did you do in the Navy? So I like to share with everybody that I was an F-14 and an F-18 fighter jet plane captain, if you're familiar with what that is. So I worked ground crew and I worked on the flight line. So if you're familiar with F-14s, that would be from the popular movie Top Gun.
Absolutely.
Those are the F-14s. And then the new Maverick movie.
Wow.
Those were the
really, you were on the flight line for that?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Well,
cool.
Jim, what do we say every single day? Yeah. Every single day, what do we say?
All our guests are cooler than us.
Yes.
You're funny.
It's John's not even a question.
John's going to ask you if you can get him a flight suit, though.
Yeah.
Just
wow.
So you know.
Yes! I want to wear one to a Packer game and just walk around.
Right. Oh, yeah. That's
I do.
That is. That's cool on the field. They walk around and
I walk through the atrium and everything.
Old days, we would call that a chick magnet. Now we just call it that. You would be held in high esteem.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I wish I would have had something cool like that to share with you all, but I don't, unfortunately.
Wow.
But
that
has to be amazing.
That's
being
pretty cool.
Right on a flight line.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was definitely an experience that I wouldn't have gotten in an everyday life. So it definitely catapulted my career on that side of it. And it was just a very great experience. A lot of really amazing people throughout my life. And it kind of brought me down the path where I am today.
Good for you. Wow.
That's awesome. All right. So today, you're working on, where did the art come in?
So
I don't think a lot of people on flight lines are artists, but I don't know. What do I know?
It was kind of one of those, when you get out of your military career, what do? Well, launching F-14 and F-18 aircraft is not really your day job anymore, so you have to come up with a different career. I know a lot of veterans go through this when they transition out.
Right.
It's you're going from a military career to a civilian career, and it's like, well, what does that look like now? For me, I've always been into the arts. It's kind of was my thing before I went into the service, and I wanted to revisit it when I came out. So I went back to school and got a little degree in some visual communications and was doing some marketing and branding. But it wasn't until I moved back here to Wisconsin. I traveled around for a little bit after my military time. And it wasn't until I moved back here to Wisconsin until I really got back into my art, into the arts. My father was a Vietnam veteran.
Oh.
And he is by far my driving force behind everything that I currently do.
Awesome.
Like many veterans during that era, they have a pretty sour taste in their mouth when it came back to that timeline. And he was one. He struggled from PTSD and combat trauma. So I was very aware of what that looked like growing up. And when I started going down this path of doing artwork, and I was doing artwork of different local veterans, it was kind of a way to help engage him. And I was hoping that maybe there would be some healing power that would happen with him as well, with being able to connect back to his veteran status that he really didn't want to talk about.
Art is a common connecting thing, though, with veterans. Yes. It really is.
And what kind of art do you do then for veterans?
So I started with doing a lot of different portrait work.
Oh, nice.
So around the community, I was volunteering, doing different activities throughout the area, and I started taking photos of veterans doing their continued service, whether it would be through the Patriot Guard riders and they were standing side for one of our fallen veterans, or it would be from a parade that they were walking the parade, and I started taking photographs of them. And from there, I did portrait artwork. So I used mediums of oil as well as art markers are kind of a fan favorite of mine. And I started tracking down these veterans after I created the works of art and gifting them to them.
Wow. Just out of the blue.
Just out of the blue.
That's so cool.
And that's cool that you took pictures of them back in society today, and they can look at that on their wall and think, you know, things are good. Because you take them and probably, you know, parades. I mean, those are just great things to, and they're being honored, and hopefully they see that in your artwork. That's pretty cool how you tied that to
absolutely
helping them.
Thank you.
You know, get through that. Because if you give them a picture of, and I'm sure people do this, but a picture of them when they were in Vietnam, maybe that doesn't bring back the memories maybe it doesn't bring back good thoughts. Whereas I think if you see yourself in a parade or doing some community service, standing guard, you're being honored. You're not only honoring something, you're being honored as well. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where it drove me to, is that it is about the continued mission. It's about the continued service. And because I was had a couple opportunities to gift these publicly to these veterans, I was able to get my father involved in a couple of them. And I saw a light switch change. I saw a whole different healing power happen that hadn't happened in the past. And he started reconnecting. Unfortunately, we did lose him 11 years ago now to cancer that was directly related to
Agent Orange.
Agent Orange.
Wow. Now, tell us a little bit about your art gallery.
Sure. So my current project is that I've taken a lot of my fine art and I've moved it to a greater scale. My goal now is to help a broader audience. And so we have developed, it's called the Veteran Art Institute.
Okay.
And it's a nonprofit. So it's theveteranartinstitute.org. And this is an online platform for veterans to be able to go and upload their artwork, show and exhibit their artwork online, as well as link to their social media and link to any point of purchases that they may have to sell their artwork.
Nice.
That's
you
great.
Put all this together?
Myself and a team of about 5 others.
Great.
So it's not only your artwork that you're sharing, but there's other artists.
Yes.
How many people are participating?
Sure. We launched we call it like our 2.0 because COVID changed kind of our whole plan on everything, which really pushed through this online version of this. So it was a little blessing on that side of it. However, so we started out with about 10 artists And we launched this website on 11/11 of 2023, so last year, last November. And we started with about 10 artists, and now we are currently at, we have 450 artists that are registered in our veteran community, and we are sharing over 150 online artists are sharing their artwork and exhibiting.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And that represents over 2,200 works of art.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah,
thank
that's
you.
Pretty cool that I bet you people just look around, like walking through museums.
I would love
they
to
spend
look
a couple hours
can
on
Can I
that
look that up
day.
Right now?
Oh, absolutely.
What is it again?
VeteranArtInstitute.org.
Yep, veteran just with the N. VeteranArtInstitute.org.
Oh, veteran. All right,
veteran. Yeah, every day we have new artists that are registering and signing up with us. We receive probably anywhere from, I think we're between like 2 and 7 artists are joining us a day right now.
Oh, that's awesome.
We're doing this on very little funding. Almost everything has been done in kind, including the development software, which was done by a company out in Oregon area, who is also a Marine veteran. Yep, there's okay. the exhibit. So we have different...
Nice.
In addition to being able to have just artists upload their artwork, we also host online exhibits. One thing we're finding is that we're able to partner with different VAs and we're able to share their exhibits that they're doing, but we can bring it to an online platform so that everyone can see.
Excuse me. And not only the art, but a little bit of a description of the story.
Yeah, this is great. I mean, looking through this, this
I'm
is
seeing
super.
That, yeah. Wow.
Well, you know, that could be very therapeutic, too. You know, we had a good friend here, my buddy Mike, the Marine vet, and he actually brought in original paintings he did, kind of psychedelic-ish in 1969, sitting in the jungle in Vietnam when they were on patrol,
wow.
and they'd take breaks. And he actually, and in one of them, there's actually, I said, Mike, is that blood on there? And he goes, yeah, I had a big leech on my leg that day, and I pulled it off, and that would happen. It's still on
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's, you know. I don't know if you'd hang that one in the kitchen.
Well, one thing that we're finding is that when a new artist signs up and registers with us, we have kind of a process that it goes through.
This is great. I'm reading their bios and everything. This is fantastic. And so many of them are talking about they use this as therapy. I'm an Army veteran and on the road to recovery, and I use art as part of my therapy.
Right.
Transitioning back to the civilian world wasn't easy. I came close to ending it all. I mean, this is really important stuff you're
yeah,
doing here.
You're checking a lot of boxes there, right? The artist in and of itself is therapeutic, and then for people to see that, you know, that's very cool what you've done there.
And it's
online, too. It's
that's
easy
what I was
going to
say. Just, yeah, it's not like just in a brick and mortar. You stick around. I want to talk to you some more about the suicide prevention.
Yeah.
Sure. Back after this.
Thank you.
Hey, welcome back. Excuse me. Mine on the Mayor here on a good-looking Tuesday. Today is Suicide Prevention Day, and they're, of course, going to be having a big walk here in town, and that goes hand-in-hand with what you're trying to do through your art and sharing it with people. Jim, you had a really good comment.
Well, Laura, this artwork is therapeutic, and therapy can help prevent suicide. So where's the connection? And I know there is one because your underlying mission is suicide prevention for veterans.
Yeah, absolutely. Mental health is really a struggle when it comes to many different things, whether it be combat trauma or it be, you know, PTSD or just transitioning back into the civilian life. We know that there's a lot of obstacles went down that road. So art as therapy. Art as therapy is.
What is that?
You know what that is?
Is that your phone?
Hey, wow. Oh, man.
That's a good song, by the way. It's a great song.
I just want to say,
John and I are glad it was you. You're not going to get fired.
We would have gotten scolded.
I even had the ringer off. A little song for Green Day.
Okay. All right. Because he's looking. Did you notice the first person he looked at was me?
Yes.
All right, Laura. So you were talking about the suicide prevention, how this is tied to your artwork gallery.
Yeah, so a couple other things with that as well is that what we found, you know, yes, art is therapy, and not necessarily just being in an art therapy program, but just utilizing art as therapy. It's a way to help heal the brain. In addition to that, when you're online and you're working with other veterans, you build this camaraderie that you're able to, and that's another healing aspect of it as well. And that alone, they can connect through other social medias and whatnot. So that builds that unified. But we also believe that awareness and being able to point people in the right direction if they feel that they need the help is also important. So we do have the crisis hotline on our website to make sure that we offer another option.
Well,
I think it's great.
So do I. And this art, we'll call it an art gallery, right? An online art gallery with how many?
Over 2,200 works of art currently.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, you can go visit that a lot of days. You know what I mean? Like, even if you look,
I'm looking on here on my phone. It's
and
just
you can read about
really
it too,
nice
which
stuff.
I think is great. Yeah. How do you get the artists to participate? Is it word of mouth or do you advertise it?
I'm doing some small advertising right now. Very limited budget, as I said. Most of everything has been done through volunteer work. So I do some online advertising. But I think when you have a community that is in need of something like this, they've been just finding us and sharing it with other veterans as well.
We're going to keep sharing it. You know, it's funny. Some of these are pretty amazing. I mean, look at this one, Jim, what that guy created.
Wow.
Isn't I mean, some of these sculptures mm-hmm. and, you know, and other ones are watercolor or whatever, but it runs the gamut here. But they all say pretty much every one of these, how much it's helped them just in dealing with everything. And it seems like you brought this whole community together. You know, it's worldwide, but you brought them together.
Yeah, we feel very lucky and very privileged to be able to have such an amazing software, first of all, that allows this to happen. And then to be able to bring in the different veterans and how they keep continuing to help each other.
So it's the Veteran Art Institute. And if you want to display something, I mean, it must go through you. But anyone can go on there. And I want to get back to an artist that's listening that would like to maybe put something in your gallery.
Sure. Our criteria is you just need to be a veteran in order to apply. Or it's not even apply. You just go on and register. And from there, it just walks you right through. You just register online, veteranartinstitute.org. Click on the register. I think it says register link or something like join our community of some sort. Mm-hmm. And from there, you just enter your information. We have a small screening process that we go through to make sure that we keep this solely a community
with the integrity of veterans. Absolutely.
Yep. And then from there, we have lots of fun little tutorials that teach you how to upload your artwork. Yeah. And another great aspect of what's happening is that when you are registered as an artist, not only do you have the ability to upload your artwork, link it to, or your point of purchase if you're selling artwork, but you also enter an entire online community in the background that you don't see unless you're online, which is an education portal. So we have other artists that have brought in, we have tutorials on the back, how to paint, how to market your artwork, and all that's part of the education portal
that's awesome.
On the log when you're logged in.
Because there might be somebody who doesn't know they have this. You know what I mean? Like you said, you were a kid, you did this, you went and you're on a flight line, which probably, you know, was your top priority at that time and to get back into it. So if someone's like, I kind of like art, but I don't know how to do it. That's all in the tutorial that you offer for these veterans.
Yeah, this is a continuing project. So the education platform is just really starting to kick off and it's continuing to grow.
And then any of us can just go on and look at the artwork.
It's beautiful. It's great. That's great stuff.
But then that's cool.
I'm looking at it right now.
That's pretty cool what you did here.
It's really cool. Congratulations.
Right.
Thank you.
You know, people talk about COVID, how it was bad. This kind of helped you. I mean, this is right. You're not going to build a bricks and mortar thing. It's all virtual. And
Yeah.
That's us.
Got some text here, too. Where do the proceeds go? Do the artists get a cut? Another text here. Can we donate online?
You can donate online. We have donations available online. And we also we do not move any money when it comes to the artists.
Right.
Each artist is responsible for their own point of purchase on everything. Yeah. But we do have, we provide facilitate a place for them to be able to share and offer those options.
I have to ask you, Lauren, we ask every veteran that comes through here because, you know, like I mentioned, I know at least four people who have taken their lives that are veterans, and I still can't figure it out why sometimes because there's such a wide variety of reasons and everybody's got their own demons or whatever. But I like the fact, because I think one of the important things is for men and women veterans to have outlets like this where it's not just going to the VFW and, you know, have another shot and beer and something like this where you're so supportive, letting them be creative. I think this is really something that was needed, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel very lucky.
But I think the other thing that you're doing here is, you know, the people who go to this Veteran Art Institute, they can learn how to pick up something that they probably missed in their lives, or maybe they're searching for something. And you know, I'm a big believer in the arts, whether it's visual arts or dance or music. I just think the arts are very therapeutic.
Yeah, what I really enjoy is that we offer something that's it's not conventional, and you don't have to go through your medical doctor to be able to hop on this wagon. It's just it's cool. Open for all levels, and you can just hop in at any stage. Everything is welcome. We even have it developed, and after we get this running in full motion, which we're getting closer and closer to that point, we have it already set up to open up to music.
Beautiful. Give yourself a plug one more time, who you are, what you do, and how people can be involved.
Sure. Hi, Laura Taylor. I am a Navy veteran, and I am part of the Veteran Art Institute, which is veteranartinstitute.org. We are currently seeking corporate sponsorship, and donations are always welcome. Every $10 that's donated allows us to bring on a new artist and bring on more educational opportunities for them.
And you're based out of Kakana, right?
I am based out of the Kakana Little Chute area. We are nationwide, and our founder is actually over in California.
Okay.
But we are nationwide, which allows us to reach a much larger spectrum.
Wow. And you can sponsor an artist for $10.
$10 brings on one full artist.
Fantastic.
That's pretty awesome. All right. Well, great. Thanks for doing this. I mean, there's so many. You know, Johnny and I, with this show, is just trying to get out and get people that maybe don't have the exposure and recognition you deserve. This is, like, really cool what you're doing.
Thank you.
Really cool. Congratulations. Yeah, you might turn your phone off again there.
Yeah, really. Get us in trouble.
Todd, do that with you. All right, guys, that's a quick break. Back with more after this.
Search for Mino and the Mayor or WGBW or Oshkosh Air Support and see the entire show unfold right before your eyes. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Special thanks to Laura Taylor. What a great thing they've got together. Veteran Art Institute. That is really, really cool. And how many people they get involved, just awesome.
Checks a lot of boxes with that. Yep. That's a great program.
Absolutely.
Give her a lot of credit.
And big with suicide prevention for the veterans. Well, yeah. We had another gentleman in here that's big in the local art scene.
He's big in a lot of scenes. This is one of my favorites. Tarl Knight, who you've heard of, he's a guy that I teach a class, and yesterday we focused on what is an entrepreneur. And, of course, in the text, you got Elon Musk, this, that. And I'm like, look, there's entrepreneurs right here in Green Bay, and you need to find one and write about them or her, you know. And you're one of them. You take some risk, and it's working for not just you personally. It's working for the community. And you own the Tarleton, which is on Walnut and Broadway. And Johnny just said he drove by there the other day. Of course, you had Film Fest.
Yeah, your parking lot. I mean, you guys had the bands playing. You had people dancing. You had food trucks. I mean, that looked like a really cool thing to just drop in on.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. We're exploring our outdoor concert series in the yard.
Yeah.
It's the truck yard at the Tarleton is just one of the new additions to the Tarleton campus, and we're excited to explore an outdoor food truck parking.
And you got another big deal coming up, and I like this because I was always, you know, far be it from me to be competitive, but that Mile of Music was a good deal for Appleton and very successful, been down there. And you're doing something, it's not the Mile of Music, but you're doing something that's not dissimilar. And I think that's awesome. And you picked the best weekend of the year to do it. So tell us about it.
Yeah, it's all bands on deck. This is Green Bay's biggest live music festival. It is our answer to the Mile of Music in Appleton. And what it is a big...
We don't answer to anybody. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, it is. It's cool. It's outdoor bands. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, we are answering to a call for this kind of event in Green Bay. It's free. Everyone in Green Bay and beyond are invited. It's a big celebration of local bands at local businesses in a very local, important part of our city. And so it's happening in the Shipyard District and the Shipyard neighborhood. Revitalizing those areas is essential to to making sure these businesses succeed for a long time in the heart of downtown.
Is there in the Shipyard District?
Well, the Shipyard District is a district, Johnny. It includes businesses, and he's going to talk about these bands are going to perform.
Because when some I keep seeing the Shipyard, I'm not quite sure what exactly where it is. I'll be honest.
You're not alone. And I talked about that when he was in the lobby. I'm like, look, you got to give us some, I didn't say confidence, you got to give us some update on the Shipyard. So why don't you do that first, and then we'll talk about where these bands are going to be performing in this Shipyard District, all bands on deck.
Yeah, so the Shipyard Park is part of the City of Green Bay Shipyard project, and there's been a long vision under Mayor Jim Schmidt's administration, and now under the current mayoral administration, a lot of visioning for this city-owned vacant parcel of land just north of Mason Street. Now, south of Mason Street, there is an entire community of businesses that hasn't been a part of the downtown, really, in an official way. And so in joining the Broadway District and the downtown district as a real core but different area of our city that has industrial, residential, commercial businesses all intertwined, here is something that we can do to bring awareness to those businesses, that area. They all came together in 2021, formed a business district, a business organization, Shipyard District, Inc.
So the Shipyard, John, is the anchor. That's mm-hmm. that's what he's talking about, this park. And I just, and thank you for saying that was my vision. My vision was a baseball stadium, and the council screwed that up. But now we have a, and I think it's good. It's kind of an urban beach. It's going to be a very cool place. You got some containers. That's going to be a very unique park, and that's the anchor to this whole Shipyard District.
Absolutely.
And you're going to have these bands. Name some of the places they're going to be performing. I think
so. At the Tracks is a venue that's part of the Tarleton venue family. That's right south of Mason Street. We got Rum Runners, the Public House, Richard Craniums, State Street Pub, Overtime Grill and Pub, Blue Collar Bar and Grill, Packer Stadium Lounge, Hammer Inn, Brewskies. There's so many great businesses, bars and restaurants down there.
And they don't get the exposure. That's a cool area, right?
Yeah.
And we've been to Craniums. Well, I've been to a number of those places. Have you been to Richard Craniums?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... used to live there.
I've gone up and down that street a couple times.
Yeah, what? Yeah.
But all of them, I haven't been in all of them.
My favorite one used to be off of State Street, Thirsties. Remember Thirsties?
Oh, Thirsties.
Yeah. That's my fun one.
It just, that's great. And I'm sure they're open arms about this thing.
This is something that's organized by all these businesses. I represent them and help to steer the way. But you have a community of businesses coming together to revitalize the area. It's very unique that everyone's on board with the same community vision.
Right.
And this is the biggest thing that ever happened to South Broadway. And so we really want to celebrate that. 100 performances by live bands. You have all of the food and drink that you can only get down in the Shipyard District. You have rail, you have shipping, you have the coal piles there. It's industrial, and we have a great time. Walk up and down the street, you take the shuttle, and so you can get safely between all the venues all day.
That's pretty walkable, though. I mean, there's pretty good infrastructure in those areas.
It's walkable.
The only thing is the train going to cause any problems?
Well, as we say in the Shipyard District, ship happens. or train happens in this case.
You know, one thing, though, too, and we were talking about the baseball stadium, and I was, you know, big into that, too, working with a group. And I remember going over there at different times of day, just for, like, where the sun would be, you know, versus where the bat, you know, I mean.
Get over that.
Look at all those things. But I'll tell you what, later afternoon, when that sun's coming off the river, and you get the skyline kind of like lit up there, it's fantastic.
And
it really is. That's
and you'll be able to
view.
Enjoy that in that Shipyard Park. I mean, it's
coming along.
The water's
along
there. It is coming along. It's.
I live right next door, right above the bar at the Tracks, and I love seeing the coal piles in my backyard. Each morning, I can't wait until I don't see them anymore. But I get to see the development of this thing every day. And while it's not the original vision, this is going to be an exciting new injection of life and energy into that area of town.
How far north do these bands play?
They're going to play as north as Old School Bar. That's not in the Shipyard District. That's in the Broadway District.
Right.
But that bar was on since the beginning of the vision, when the boundaries of the Shipyard District was so new, they weren't determined yet.
Name some of you can name some of the bands if you want, but tell us about some of the different venues, that type of the bands.
Yeah, so some of the bands you're going to see are a lot of rock. We've got some punk. We've got country, bluegrass, reggae. We got some metal bands. So there's something for everyone there.
Right.
Every genre for all ages. Saturday between noon and 3 at 8th Street Park in the very center of the Shipyard right. neighborhood and district. We've got Brass Differential playing for free. That's a family stage. You want to come out and bring your kids and your dogs?
Those guys, that's a good band.
It's a great band. They're going to kick Saturday off
yeah.
on Friday and Saturday from 6 o'clock Friday to midnight. And from 3 o'clock Saturday to midnight, we have all of these bands. There's outdoor venues, indoor venues. You got beer gardens up and down all the South Broadway and State Street. Maybe some favorites you recognize are the Chocolatiers, the Raglanders. Yeah. We've got Holly and the Nice Lines, the French-Irish Coalition. There's such a great variety here of all genres. You can't go wrong.
And you obviously have the city support because they're letting you play till midnight.
Yeah, we do have great city support. Last yeah. year, we had the ARPA tourism event grant that helped to right. fund half of the festival.
Right.
And so that was a big success. This year, we have great community support.
I love that it's somebody as young as you getting involved here. God bless guys our age, Jim, but we had our totally. We had our time to do whatever.
You can't do it without them. Hey, you're right, John.
And you're this younger generation. You guys aren't afraid. You guys just... You know what I mean?
It's entrepreneurs.
Like entrepreneurs. Let's risk. Jump out there. Let's take it, get it taken care of. Yeah. So congratulations on that.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, it's pretty
Thanks,
cool. John. And it's nice that, and I just want to underscore that the businesses are happy about this. I mean, they're really the ones, I mean, you're leading the charge, but they're the ones who are making it happen. I mean, you couldn't do it without their support.
Yeah, this is a community vision. All of the businesses came on board together to form this thing in 2021. We're still asking for further support from the city. We want to be officially recognized as a destination in our downtown. We want to have the same resources and opportunities as the Broadway District and the Downtown District in 20, 50 years. We want the community to say, wow, good thing that they moved forward together as a community with music.
Well, we won't be around talking about that. You got
however,
a nice text here. See that?
Yeah, I do. Somebody just texted in, Tarl has a magnificent radio voice.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. I'm coming for you, John.
I know, that's what I was in the back of my mind. But
I think that was your mom.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
No, you're doing great with that. What are the other things you're working on? Tell us a little bit more about Tarleton. I know you've always got something going on there. And like I said, I'm sorry I missed that film festival because that was a pretty cool event. But
well,
we're out of town.
No, not a problem. We've got the Green Bay Film Festival at home at the Tarleton. The Green Bay Jazz Orchestra performs every month at their home at the Tarleton. Our partnership with the Widener Center and the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, the Widener Downtown at the Tarleton. We've got our Art War live painting competition, and Saturday morning cartoons are coming back this fall. We've got a bunch of Halloween movies and Christmas time movies that we're going to be playing. Classics like Beetlejuice, Hocus Pocus.
Did you see the new one yet?
No, not yet. But we got Beetlejuice coming up, so you can prepare yourself for
okay.
Beetlejuice.
All right.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show. We're also showing Nosferatu, the classic from 1922, and the 70th anniversary of Godzilla in original Japanese.
Wow.
So we got all sorts of fun stuff for the whole family. There's something for everyone. And we're also still in phase one of the development of the truck yard at the Tarleton, Green Bay's first food truck destination park. We're going to have that all ready by the draft.
And again, we always talk about this. It's easier to knock stuff down these days than to fix them up. But
right.
you didn't. You said, hey, I'm going to keep with this old heritage. I don't even know what year that was built.
1924. We're celebrating 100 years this year since the construction.
No,
and it's
wow.
on the National Register of Historic Places. We're restoring that.
That's
oh, that's
the
fantastic.
Same year the Hotel Northland.
Hotel Northland, yeah.
And we're having a party there, and it's going to be pretty cool. We have to tie you into that party.
Yes,
some
send,
way,
send
somehow.
Me some details.
I could tell you. I'll just tell you real quick. We got a minute here. The famous. I don't know how many famous people you've had through your place, but at the Northland Hotel, they're most famous people. They've had so many people, but Vince Lombardi signed his contract in the Crystal Ballroom, right?
Oh,
Eleanor
wow.
Roosevelt came to the Crystal Ballroom at the Northland and talked about, you know, she was big in women's rights. She did a lot of great
yeah.
things. And then John Kennedy was there. John F. K. was there as a senator. He wasn't
that's
president
legendary.
Yet. And so we hired character actors to be those three people.
Oh, that's amazing.
And give talks. They're going to, and that speech that the guy's going to read, he's got a Boston accent from Kennedy is, you're going to hear that thing and you're going to be like, he could have wrote that last week. You know,
yeah.
it's just, you know, he was Mr., you know, something good. So anyway, but we need to celebrate. BAY started in 1924 as well.
Wow.
Okay. So, I mean, there's some cool things
city
that happened.
History.
And then we had that roaring 20s. Now, the 30s came when everything went to hell. But, I mean, we sure enjoyed that run. So,
did you ever find anything cool in your place when you were tearing through the walls or anything?
Yeah, you know, we find some good old-fashioned movie posters once in a while. But we are doing a reclamation of old historic artifacts that came from the West Theater. We have we have the original movie seats that were right up by the screen that were donated back to us. And we're starting to find marquee letters and the box letters that sat up on top of the marquee.
So fantastic.
We're continuing to pull as much of that history back
I just want to say again what John was saying is that it's easy to tear this stuff down and build new. It's actually cheaper. But, I mean, for those of you who really step up and say, look, I know it's going to cost more, but I want to preserve this.
I think it's us.
This home, this building, this district.
It's a part of Green Bay's history.
It is.
It's our responsibility.
And so. It is. And you look at, you know, there's a lot of growth going out to the suburbs, but something they don't have is history.
Jim, I know you were talking about the actors and stuff for the celebration. I think John could do a great Eleanor Roosevelt. I mean, what do you think?
Pretty was she close. Short and fat? I think she was tall and lanky.
I don't think I could do Eleanor.
I think you could.
Maybe I could. Well, anyway, Terrell, congratulations what you got going there. Love to see the young entrepreneurs. Jim harps on this every single day. You know, get your plan together. Yeah. Get it together. Go out there and go after it.
Yeah, and you're doing it. Well, I'm proud of you. I think it's great.
Thank you, gentlemen, for being such a great inspiration to me and so many in the community. You both step up. So
thank you. It's very nice of you.
Cool.
Do you have any old movie posters from like gangster movies or something back in the 30s and you don't know what to do with them?
Let me look through those. Okay. I'll give you a call, John.
Any Nick Barnett stuff in there?
Jeez.
Well, he owned that place for 7 years, 6 years, right? Yeah, he had some issues.
Silence.
He would come into my office.
Silence.
And
things take a turn.
Where does Swag? I'm like, Nick, oh, come on. But he put some money into it. But that was just anything with him, he couldn't clean that out, huh?
He left behind some really good pieces in the theater.
Did he?
And he made some positive changes.
He did.
So. Good.
I'm a big fan of his. So.
I used to show with him. Had a great time with him.
I think he's great.
All right, we got to set a quick break. Back right after this. Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor on a Tuesday morning.
Pretty cool.
Very cool. Yeah. Love the fact that young people have the courage to go out and do something like that.
Step up,
yep.
Buy a business, start a business, and then, yep. To do that, but then you got to keep it going, and that's a pretty creative young guy.
You better believe
it. He's doing this shipyard thing, which is going to be fun. That's this weekend, right?
I think that could be really cool. I like the fact that they're taking going into that part of town.
And that's cool that on 8th Street Park, which is, of course, right off of Broadway, Brass Differential, that's going to be fun. And they're kicking that off Saturday at noon. And then just walk around and check out all these bands.
Yeah.
This is going to be fun. This is very creative. This is something that...
But you know what? That part of town almost has a bad connotation, you know, in certain ways and everything.
Right.
It's
this
nice
can change that. Yeah. Absolutely. And family's walkable. I think there's a lot of cool stuff you can do there. So, yeah, we just need that. I mean, people need to get out. And, of course, we got the game on Sunday. Are you going to ask you that?
No. Okay. Are your shoes going to get pretty dirty in that district? Is it coal dust?
No, not really. No, they spray them. They were spraying them yesterday. No. But they knew those coal piles got to move. They have got to move. So, and I know it's being worked on. But that's going to be great because you realize what that's going to open up.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
All that.
That's prime real estate.
It is. Absolutely.
Like down in San Diego, you know, they have the
harbor.
Well, the harbor, but nobody, what's that? Just Seaport Village, you know, restaurants
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
just very
the
cool places. Right, you just walk restaurant to restaurant.
I agree.
That could be a very, very cool, like, focal point for
it.
Tourism, for residents, for... what you don't want to do is take a piece of property like that and put a school there or something that doesn't pay taxes.
Or put coal piles there. You don't want to do that.
Well, actually, we make more taxes.
Like I said, when you drive past there, you probably don't pay too much attention looking around. But when I was going out there specifically and checking out the different angles and everything, that's a nice skyline.
I mean,
it's not a big one, but that's a nice skyline.
Yeah, and then I think, and that can grow as well. But that's there's there's major things that happen every so often, and that is going to be a major thing that's going to happen soon. I mean, it's going to happen in our lifetime. It's just taken a lot longer, and it takes a lot of people to get behind a project like that. I mean,
they're not going to sell me the fire station, though, huh?
You know that you could turn that into something. I think that's zoned properly for you. You'd have a business on the first floor, and then you live on the second floor.
Yes,
I
would love that.
I think that could happen.
Okay, all right.
However, I think there may be.
Is it one of those things you can buy it for like a dollar or something? Don't they do that sometimes?
But the reason they sell it to for a dollar is it needs so much cleanup, and then
I can do that. I used to clean out houses.
Not that kind of cleanup, like oil. If there's
hazardous waste things,
and I don't know. I don't know much about that. I mean, no, I know where the site had been in there a number of times, but I don't. But that's right across from East High School. West High School.
You know, we should have had Laura do. Laura, our veteran artist. Huh? Get us flight suits and go to the Packer game and just walk around, you and me, in flight suits. What do you think?
I'm totally
Todd. In.
Todd looks more like that. He looks more like a pilot.
I'm sorry. I don't know. You guys walking around in flight suits.
Oh, man.
I think Todd looks a little bit like Kelsey, the one that just retired, who's doing stuff now.
Yeah.
He's got a beard like you. And you remind
me
of
Travis, the other guy.
The other one. Yeah. Jason.
A little bit.
You see how much you're getting for their podcast?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Quarterback money. Yeah.
Wow.
Can the same people not be getting all the money?
Like
Ryan Seacrest started as the host of Wheel this week. And people were saying, oh, he's doing a fine job. And I'm sitting here saying, he's got too many jobs.
He's got too many.
Yeah.
Go spread it around with us. Wow.
You know, again, that's, I mean, what, 3%? Of the top earners, or 50% of that. It's crazy, and it's skewed. It just is, and I don't know what the answer is. Do they deserve it? I know they're in the entertainment business. I mean, somebody's paying them.
Are they entertaining, though? That's the question. Are these guys really entertaining?
Are they, okay.
Well, sports is entertainment.
Well, but I mean, is there talent there for podcasts?
You know, I don't know. That's what I mean. I don't know what they're, you know.
Talents are totally
so
different.
So many of them out there, podcasts and talking heads and whatever. It's like, really, they're going to be paid that kind of money to do that?
Yeah. I do a podcast about ghost hunting, and I pay about $50 a month to do it.
Oh, just off a couple hundred million?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, I got to start up my podcast.
I'm sure it'll be good. But, John, how are you going to get the word out? How are people going to listen to it? You've got to get it out there.
I know.
That's the problem with
podcasts. I know. That's why Todd's here.
Okay. Could buy advertising on the Mino and the Mayor show.
Yes,
there you go.
Could do that.
And we could advertise your podcast.
Absolutely.
There's a thought.
But
we've got to get people to go to your podcast. Now, how often is it going to be? Because people who do podcasts, I talked to some guys, I'm going to do one a month. I said, nobody's going to listen to that.
No, find it.
You know?
No.
Right?
People
once a
want
week?
It every, well,
is it, or
some
more?
People want it like every day they want something.
That would be,
That's a lot of work.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
But you can build it up, though, to record them. And have, you know, like, say you did 10 in the span of a month, and then you got a head start, like,
with
something like that.
You could do that. You're right with your podcast, but like, I listen, you know, I listen to Start Here every day, but that's current news every day.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, it's.
Is it local?
He couldn't do, no.
Oh.
He couldn't do that. 5 days.
Right.
I know he's done some
it's
stuff.
It's got to be timely.
He does some stuff like, it's 11 o'clock at night. I mean, he does it, but it's all about what's going on today. So anyway.
I just come to mind Jim sitting on the beach under a parasol and listening to Meet the Press.
Me
or
too.
Whatever it is,
right? I did that on Sunday,
see that.
I totally did that
on vacation.
Sunday. No, I saw vacations right in my house.
It's whatever.
It's
just
right
can't get
in my
away from it.
I listened to George. Of course, he was on vacation this week.
George who?
Stephanopoulos.
Okay.
And then Meet the Press is awesome. She does a great job. But yeah, I can listen to 2-3 hours.
Okay, I'm going to ask you one quick question. That's the only one I'm going to ask in this.
Okay.
How do you see the debate tonight?
Well, it's true what the pundits are saying. People are going to get to know the vice president. I mean, people know her name, but they don't know. I mean, they know she was a prosecutor and she knows the VP. It's going to be interesting if she distanced herself from the president, you know?
Okay.
Is there a lot of daylight between those two? I think there has to be because...
You mean Biden?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't think people were in love with him. So I think she's got to say, yeah, you're right. I was his VP, but, you know, it's kind of under his shadow. Now I'm going to do this, this, and this. And she has some right things. Trump, you know, he's got his base. I mean, there's people who would, you know... But he's got to broaden that to women, to undecided, and they're not going to like him beating her up. People don't like that. I don't like that.
Okay.
But I'm, you know, my big challenges for tonight.
What?
What to eat?
I was just going to say, you're talking about the menu, aren't you?
I was. I said to Donald, what do you want tonight?
What are you going to have?
I don't know. I think I want something kind of like crunchy. So I think maybe I'm going to do, you know, because I think I want to be nervous. So I think I'm going to get like, I don't know, maybe tacos.
Debate tacos. I like that.
Yeah, I got to do something like that. And that may come up. I just think it's going to be, I don't know. Right, but I'm going to watch it. There's no doubt. Don't call me.
You guys had a quick break. Andrew from NBC 26 joining us next. Yeah.